system, which is Wayne Costey's presentation on the hole in the Pentagon wall. Go ahead, David. Wayne.
Great. Thank you so much. First of all, I want to let the people know that they can get a copy of the presentation if they don't have it by going to a website, hopeoutloud.org/Pentagon. hopeoutloud.org/Pentagon. It's the top item there. And so what I wanted to do here was respond to the comments that I heard at the last teleconference where people were insisting that the size of the hole was 20 feet and that was too small for anything except maybe a missile. But in fact, the hole of first floor is open for 100 feet, and it's really obvious if you actually stop and take a look. I know in an email exchange I had today with Adam, he's clarified that of course everyone knows that the top the 20 feet is on the opening is on the second floor, but all the conversations I keep hearing is that the wall is basically intact except for this 20 feet. So what I'd like to do is go through this presentation. I'm going to talk only about the wall, and I'm hoping that when it comes to the Q&A, that Ken will keep everyone on the specific topic of the size of the hole and the evidence and the images. And yep. So I'll be responding because I'll be going through that. Table two, slide two is the table of contents. I'm going to go through what the wall looks like. This an assertion that it's a blast-resistant wall, but in fact, it's just not much more than Jenga blocks, and we're going to take a look at that with blast-resistant windows, and the wall crumbles when it collapses. Everything you need to know about it is on the ground. We're going to talk about the a little bit about the conflicting planes, composite photos. Then we're going to look at the hole, starting with the south end, going to the north end, and then we're going to focus on the hanging remnants of column 16. So going on to slide three, the purpose is of the presentation is basically to illustrate the evidence supporting the exterior wall that was comprised of many concrete blocks. That when you look at the images, you'll see that they are in fact not super reinforced as when they connect to other things, other parts of the structure. And there's a continuous opening that exists in the first floor of the Pentagon facade that's approximately 100 feet wide and extends from column 8 to 18. No other aspects of the Pentagon event is being discussed here. Slide 4 is just an introduction to the Jenga block wall. Slide 5 talks about what is visible in the post-collapse wall photographs. All the components of the wall are clearly visible in the post-collapse photos. You can see the limestone exterior sheathing, the bricks, the concrete wall blocks that came apart as large entities. They weren't cracked, so they must have just been bolted together. Steel windows and the frames that support them, and then of course the blast-resistant windows. Slide 6 takes a view of the wall while the fire trucks are still there. It's the afternoon, and you can see the blocks. I've highlighted them. You can see the limestone spacing. You can see the bricks. You can see the steel window frames that the blast-resistant windows were inset into, and then the concrete wall remains that you see piled up below. And I hear people making noise. Could you go on mute, please?
Yes, please mute your phone. Star 6, and you can star 6 when you're ready to come back. Star 6, please, especially if you're breathing hard in the background. Okay, star 6.
Thank you, Ken. So slide 7 takes a look at a close-up of this material that's there, and you can see the very sharp-edged concrete blocks that had previously been part of the wall, but they've come down, and you can see them all throughout the rubble pile as well as the other parts of the wall. Slide 8 is the inside of them, of the walls, and you can see how the windows were inset into them. And you can compare that to the exterior we saw on slides 6 and 7, showing that is the extent of the interior wall, absent the bricks and blocks that fell apart when the wall came apart. Slide 9 is a lot of text. I'm not going to go over it, but this is where they talk about the outer wall was reinforced with structural steel tubing to increase stability and provide support for the new blast-resistant windows, which are very heavy. I ran across a picture of very poor quality. It's I can't say much about it, but slide 10 talks about the impacted wall crumbling. If you go and watch it at about 9:20, you can see the wall come down. So I'm going to skip really briefly over the next slides. This is the conflicting claims about the facade. Many people say it's 18 feet, some say 16, some say 20, some say 10. But in fact, when you actually take a look, you know, slides 13 and 14, they just basically reiterate what most people know. I included it just for completeness. But so when you get to slide 15, it's one of the other pictures that shows the entire length of the opening, and it's about it's about 100 feet. Now, the rest of the presentation is going to go through looking at this in some level of detail. So going on to slide 17, we're going to talk about composite photographs. Everyone has seen some of these composite photographs. There's some accusation that they are, in fact, Photoshop, but any composite photograph is, by definition, a merger of multiple images. And the question about Photoshop is it an accurate, well, it may be an accurate term. It's neutral about the quality of the resulting information. Slide 18, the question is whether the composite actually reflects the original information or misrepresents it. And I think that largely the ones that we're going to be talking about largely represent the information. Slide 19, the assertions in the composite photos are that the opening is about 100 feet wide. And slide 20 shows how some of the composites were made, what images there were, and I'm not going to go into any detail on that. Slide 21 is the first composite image. It shows the 100-foot opening, and it shows that it's clear. There are, of course, things hanging down, especially at column 16 on the right. And then this one here happens to show two other columns on the left-hand side of the north end. There are no clear views during the event, and this particular photo appears to of the north end seems to have been merged in, and it has the wrong perspective, and it leads led me to think that the opening was only 80 feet, but in fact, that's really a side view, kind of stuck in this this way, and it's really pretty much not a very good representation. Composite number two on slide 22 is kind of more appropriate looking at the north end, but all it shows is a lot of smoke, and there's, of course, an opening there. Slide 23 talks about the best evidence that supports an opening. It is a composite, and I've identified columns 9AA, which is the leftmost of the two. I've identified it. That is a column that is intact from the second floor to the concrete slab below, except that it's greatly arched. Slide 24 basically shows another side view and maybe the source of the side view picture for the composite. But we're counting the columns. You can see for yourself where they are. I've highlighted the ones from columns 9 through 17 where the facade has fallen away. That's hopefully consistent throughout. Slide 25 is the ASCE report, American Society of Civil Engineers. They reviewed which columns were missing. And this is, I'm only showing this here to highlight where column 9A and 9AA is. And if you could go on mute again, that would be appreciated. Slide 26, we're going to start looking at the left side, the south side of the opening. The south side terminates at column 18, and columns 15 to 17 have remnants hanging. Many people have claimed that the columns are intact at the bottom and, in fact, are leaning out as a result of explosions, but there is a wrong angle for such an event. Multiple views that I'll talk about later show that they are, in fact, hanging. Slide 28 is the south end of the opening, and you can see column 16 is hanging. From the top, and we're going to see it from a left side view a little bit later, showing that, in fact, that there's no doubt that it's hanging because it connects to the roof, the second floor at from multiple perspectives. slide 29 is just a...
Wayne, let me interrupt you for just a second here. We're at the 10-minute mark, and if you wanted to leave any time for discussion, you would have to do so pretty quickly here, okay, because you only got five more minutes total. Okay.
Okay. Great. We'll try to get through this then. Then I'll just jump to slide 30. And this is where, when you actually look at the photos, you'll see that there's an opening from, and it's clearly visible, from at least column 12 to column 18. It's open on the first floor for that distance. Slide 31 is a close-up of that. Slide 32 takes a look at this and highlights a few other interesting parts. I'll skip to slide 34 and just note that you can see some interior fires. We don't need to say that. The going to the north end, and we go to slide 36, there's an opening in the facade from columns 8 to 13 that are clearly visible where the wall is absolutely missing. So that's a 36. 37 is a close-up. Barbara, in an email, has said that those things that are raggedy, pointy are rebar, but in fact, those are, in fact, the remnants of the tree that was used to be at column 16, just a few feet to the right.
That's incorrect statement about what I said.
Okay, Barbara, you have to wait to make your comment. I'm sorry.
Right. And so I guess after that, I'm just going to jump to... the hanging remnants of column 16, that's the slide 42. What I did in this next section here, which I guess I'm going to leave as an exercise for the students, is to actually take a look at these. The columns remnants from 15 to 17 can't be emanating from the floor because they would intersect the floor under the midline of the windows, and so they can't be coming up from the floor because that's the wrong angle, that's the wrong junction point with the floor. And if you go through the slides from 45, 46, and going on, what you're going to see is that and I invite you to look at the original poor quality of big YouTube that show this, but you can actually see the column from multiple viewpoints from this case here in the slide 47 from the left. In 48, you can see them. It's still attached, and this is a 45, at least 45 degrees angle difference from the other photos that we've seen, which I've turned into a composite on slide 50. I could go on and talk some more, but I'm going to leave it open. I'll open it for questions, Ken, and I want to ask you to keep the questions focused on the wall and the opening. Thanks.
They will be, but we're really running short on time. We have about 5 minutes to take for this, I think, and that means everybody needs to keep their comments or questions extremely brief. So who would like
Barbara?
To make a comment or a question that can do so in a very brief manner? Who would like to do
Barbara?
Barbara?
Craig.
Who else?
Craig.
Who else?
Jim.
Adam. Craig. Adam. Who else?
Jim.
Jim? Jim Fetzer?
Yeah.
Okay. And who else? Okay, so Barbara, you're first.
I think that was Dennis Camino also.
Yeah. Dennis, did you say you want to make a comment?
Yeah.
Dennis? Okay, gotcha, Dennis. All right. All right, so Barbara?
Okay, well, I'm just seeing if I sent my rebuttal to this PowerPoint slide that my email about an hour before this teleconference, I just refer everyone to it. It's a point-by-point rebuttal to the completely false interpretation of the video or the photographic evidence by Wayne. I'll just refer you to it. The bottom line is that the columns are clearly, you can see for yourself, I've given slide-by-slide numbers. They are bowed out, not in. In other words, from a large high-pressure explosion on the inside out, not an impact outside in. And the maximum continuous opening on the ground floor, which is not the important point anyway, is only 50 feet. But I refer you to my email. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Craig?
No, so do I get to reply?
If you can be briefly, because we're almost out of time.
Yes.
We didn't leave much time for this.
Right. And on my slide 44, where I actually showed where the column what is the line which that seems to be absolutely refutes that they could possibly be coming up from the ground and bowed out because the angles are completely wrong. And the videos that I found have the angle have the column attached to the second floor from multiple angles. So I'll leave it at that. Next, Craig.
Okay, thank you. Craig, you're next.
Yeah, I just want to quickly say, first of all, that I don't know who all these people are who are claiming that it's a 16-foot, 18-foot hole, and that's the only hole in the Pentagon wall. We've had two very detailed debates on this subject, and I don't think anybody has said anything like that. So, and look, maybe you remember somebody saying it, but most people, I think, understand that we're dealing with an opening that is bigger than that on the ground floor, and that what they're talking about is up on the second floor. But I just have a quick question, and I hope this is not at all off topic, but given your view that this damage was created by a 757, Wayne, could you tell me where you feel the impact of the right engine was on the wall and the right wing?
Well, you know, it is not something I wanted to talk about, but I'll just say that based on the geometry that I sent to you earlier this winter, that it would have been probably very close and brushing up to column 18, impacting column 17. Column 16 would have been protected to some extent by hitting the and destroying the tree out in front. So that's the geometry. If you go to the hopeoutloud.org/Pentagon, you'll see the slides that describing my estimation for the impact that were part of the discussions earlier this winter. And if I'll leave it at that, and I invite you to further discussions about those. Thanks.
Over. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Adam, you're next. Adam?
Hi. I'd just like to make a quick comment because Craig and Barbara kind of covered what I wanted to say. But I would just like to say that these points that Wayne has talked about today have been discussed ad nauseum in the truth movement since Thierry Mazin's book, La Pentagate, which came out in 2001. So we've been over all this material ad nauseum, and I would just like to move on past it at this point. So that's all I said.
That doesn't need a compound reply, I guess. So thank you. And Jim Fetzer?
During my conversation with Major General Albert Stubblebine, formerly in charge of all U.S. military signals and photographic intelligence, reported in the Real Deal episode number 100, he agreed that all four of the crash sites had been fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways, including the Pentagon, and offered additional reasons for thinking so. More recently, in the Real Deal number 205, raising the smoke curtain on the Pentagon, Dennis Camino and I went through 2 hours discussing all of this in detail. There's no question that no Boeing 757 hit the Pentagon.
So Jim, I'm sorry that you didn't ask the question about the wall, opening in the wall.
Fair enough. So we just have to let that one go, okay? It's not directly connected with the wall hole. All right, so thank you, Jim and Dennis. Dennis Camino.
Is it my turn now, Dennis?
Yes, Dennis Camino.
You know, we know that the engines on the alleged Boeing 757.
Could you speak up, please, Dennis?
Yes, we know that the engines were allegedly, you know, they're exactly 48 feet apart. I'd like to know where both engines impacted the wall, not just one, but both. And where's the wreckage? You know, where's the wreckage?
Outside of the question, so it's up to you if you want to respond to that or not. So.
No, thank you, Ken. I wanted to keep this focused on the 100-foot opening.
Yeah.
And in response to Adam, I'll say if you think that the issue's been solved, that we should stop talking about it, then I think that we might want to think about taking a motion to take a look at the evidence to take a motion to agree that there's a 100-foot opening in the wall. That would end the discussion.
Okay, so I think that we'll round out for this, and we're over time, of course. So thank you, Wayne, for your presentation.